I want us to read together Psalm 100, and if we could read it out loud, it should be up on the screen. Psalm 100, it's only 5 verses, and we could say it together. True worshipers bring heaven down to earth, part 2, okay? That is the title of our message today. True worshipers bring heaven to earth. Amen, part 2. All right, let's say it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, you are a faithful God, Lord. We don't just praise you this morning, Lord, because we're in church. We're not just praising you, Lord, because the pastor is asking us to, or the song or the music is so exciting. That's all well and good, Lord. But true praise, true worship comes from the heart. We're praising you, Lord, because we want to honor you. We're praising you, Lord, because you deserve to be praised. We're praising you, Lord, because nobody understands me and cares for me like Jesus. We're praising you, Lord, because you have delivered us from the hand of the enemy. We're praising you, Lord, because we got up this morning. We're praising you, Lord, because we didn't die in that car accident, oh God. We're praising you, Lord, because the devil didn't win. Lord, he wanted to take us out. But Lord, I thank you that your hand has preserved us, oh God. And you've lifted us up out of the stormy waters. And you've placed our feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Something amazing happens when we praise. Something supernatural when we focus our eyes and our hearts towards God. We get a different perspective. We begin to see that God is big, that our problems are small. Hallelujah. We see that God cares about us. Hallelujah. And our anxiety is nothing compared to the love that God has for us. Hallelujah. We come to know, as it says in 1 John chapter 4, we come to know and rely on the love that God has for us. And so there's so many benefits and blessings for us. Yes, it does God's heart good. Yes, I think God taps his foot up in heaven. But it's for us. It's not just for God, it's for us. A God consciousness overtakes our self-consciousness. How many of you know it's better to be God conscious than self-conscious? Amen? Power is released when we pray. Well, I praise. Hope rises. Darkness flees. Chains are broken. Amen. There's a song that says, he gives strength to me as I worship him. And my mouth is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands as I raise my hands. And so if you're a little bit shy this morning, I know some of you like the quiet type, you know, you just don't want to be too expressive. Get ready, because in heaven is going to be a song and a dance going on up there. Let me tell you right now. The Bible says he's calling us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. A marriage feast doesn't sound depressing to me. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, yeah, you know what? That's right. A marriage celebration is supposed to be a celebration. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Walls fall down. The walls of Jericho came down as they marched around for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, all of a sudden, Joshua says, now shout! And they all started shouting, hallelujah! The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And the walls started to shake. And archaeologists say that the walls are very unique, the way the walls of Jericho came down. It's like the earth opened up and they fell down straight. Whoosh, like flat. It's like the earth opened up. But it's amazing what God can do. You all know the story about Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, the godly king of Israel, who sent out the choir in front of the army. There were three different nations. They were outnumbered. Little Israel, surrounded by enemies. Kind of the same as way it is today. Right? Israel's still surrounded by people that hate them. But Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. And he sent out, made a decision to send out the choir. Hallelujah. And they began to sing as the army marched out, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Say it with me. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Say it again. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That became their chant. They were chanting, the Lord is good. And all of a sudden, God sends some angelic help. Hallelujah. He sent some angels who created an ambush. Woo, come on now. An ambush from heaven. And all of a sudden, the enemies began to turn on each other. They got so confused, they didn't know who the enemy was. And they all destroyed each other. And the people of Israel show up, and there's all these dead bodies. We said, wow, that was easy. Hallelujah. Praise makes a difference. Praise is powerful. And as Angel mentioned before, even children, Psalm 8, we read this last week, Psalm 8 verse 2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against the enemy. So teach your children to praise God. This is Psalm 8, 2 in the NIV, to silence the foe and the avenger. Oh, thank you. You have it. Thank you so much, Jordan. So God is looking for true worshipers. And the question we're asking last week and this week is, are you a true worshiper? And if you weren't here last week, we defined, first of all, what is a true worshiper? Jesus said a true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. Okay, so what does it mean? Let's break this down. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? How many of you want to hear this? All right, for the two or three of you who want to hear it, all right. The rest of you stay here as well, all right? Worship in spirit. That's the place where it comes from. If you're writing notes down. When you worship in spirit, that's referring to where your worship comes from. It's not just in your head. It's not just clapping your hands. It's not even just saying songs. It's got to come from deep down inside of you. The spiritual part of you. The part of you that God created to have communion with himself. Body, soul, and spirit. How many of you know we're three-part being, right? Body, soul, and spirit. Worship him from your spirit, from the deepest part of you. Let your praise come to God from your heart, from deep within you. It's like, you know, if your team wins the Super Bowl or if your team wins the World Series, you know, your applause and your excitement comes from a deep place. You know, do we have any Dallas Cowboy fans here? No, she's not here. Oh, we got one. Okay. Miami Dolphins. I don't know. Who's your team? Philadelphia Eagles. Come on now. We got an Eagles fan here. So when your team wins, your excitement comes from a deep place. It's not like, okay, the Cowboys won. That was great. Yeah, good game. No, people are going crazy. They're jumping out of the stands. They're falling over. They're clapping, shouting, carrying each other around. Are you getting my point? All right? So God is looking for worship to come from a very deep place, spirit, and in spirit. And then in truth, what does that mean? That's the object of our worship. Spirit and in truth, meaning that refers to what we know about the object of our worship. Okay? Do not worship something you do not know. Jesus, in this context of John chapter 4, Jesus was having a conversation with the woman at the well, and she was a Samaritan. And she said, well, our people worship here on this mountain. But you say that we should worship in Jerusalem. And then he says to her, he says, No. He says, there's a time coming when you will not worship here or there. It's not about a place. It's about the person you're worshiping. Hallelujah. He says, you have to worship what you know. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. But we Jews worship what we know because we know the God of Israel. Hallelujah. He's the God who brought us out of the Egyptian bondage. He's the God who brought us into the promised land. He's the God who has preserved a heritage for us. He has saved us. So when you worship God, first of all, in spirit, from a deep place, right? And then truth, that is the acknowledgement of who God is and his attributes, everything you know about God and what he means to you personally. So worship him about the fact that you love him. Worship him because he's powerful. Worship him because he has saved you. In other words, let your worship be in truth about what you know to be true about him. Are you with me today? Everything you know to be true about God, that's what you're worshiping. Spirit and truth. And then there's two kinds. We talked about this last week. There's inward, which has more to do with worship. And then there's outward, which has more to do with praise. Okay, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but inwardly, we are worshiping because we are meditating on the great attributes of God and His worthiness and His goodness. And that could be done really just inside. You can have admiration for God and worship for God without opening your mouth. Now, all the people who don't like to be expressive, I say, see, I knew there was a way out. Okay, I'm off the hook. No, because the Bible talks about both inward and outward praise. God wants both. And now, so you can admire God, and that's where worship starts. Worship starts from the heart. You've heard me say this so many times. That it's not about a song, it's about what's coming from your heart. You can make up your own worship. You could be sitting in the car and make up your own song. Amen? But the outward is more to do with the praise. That's a physical expression, my voice, my hands, my feet, where I'm giving vent to the admiration. I'm doing something about it. I'm showing the world I'm not ashamed to clap. I'm showing the world that I'm not ashamed to sing about Jesus. Amen. They sing about everything else. They clap for everything else. I want to sing and clap about Jesus. Amen. So that's why our praise is demonstrated. And the Bible talks about that. It says we worship and we praise. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth. He also said, I will shout, I will sing, I will clap, I will dance, I will use musical instruments. All these kinds of expressions of praise are in the Bible, okay? So when we praise God with our clapping, with our jumping, with our shouting, it's okay. We're not crazy. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, we're not crazy. Hallelujah. Don't say, I'm not so sure about you. Don't say that. I know what you were thinking. Don't say that. Praise and worship. We are called to show forth His praises. So the question, and I want to just spend more time on these last points, which last week I had to rush through these, but I want to spend some time on the question of why we should be moved to be worshipers. Why, if you're not stepping up in worship, why you should be stepping up. If you're already a good worshiper, you could even go deeper. Amen. Instead of taking one hand out of your pocket, you can take two hands out of your pocket. Amen. If instead of raising one hand, you can raise two hands. Hallelujah. Instead of just tapping your feet, you can actually move back and forth with a cool rhythm like me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jimmy's gone. I have to apologize to Jimmy. He wasn't here. He's not here now, but he had to leave. But I picked on him about the fact that when I did my happy dance here at the men's breakfast, when we had almost 30 men, that he said I didn't have good rhythm. It was actually somebody else who said it, to remain nameless. But it wasn't Jimmy. So, Jimmy does have good rhythm. He does. He's a good dancer. But let me give you this morning. These are three reasons why you need to either develop or step up. You already say, well, I already praise the Lord. But how many of you know you can praise Him some more? Yeah, well, this morning, you know, I played one worship song on my CD player. And God said, maybe you can play two worship songs. There you go. You just increased your sphere of worship right there. Maybe you can play three. Morning, noon, and night, you know. So whatever it is, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying step it up. Everybody's saying step it up. Amen. Number one, three reasons to do this. Number one, worship and praise gets our eyes off ourselves and focuses us back on God. Worship and praise gets our eyes off ourselves because sometimes we don't find our answers here. Our answers are up there. That's why the title of this message is Worshippers Bring Heaven Down to Earth. If you need, how many of you need a little bit of heaven on earth? Try worship. Worship opens up the heavens. Worship invites the presence of God. The Bible actually says that God is enthroned on worship. You know what a throne is? That's a seat, right? That's where the king sits down or the queen sits down, right? We got a throne right here. All right? So the Bible says that worship, God is enthroned on our worship. So this throne is our worship. And God sits on that throne. So when you worship, it's the atmosphere of heaven that suddenly appears. The atmosphere, your perception changes. Your perception. Say, your attitude changes. Depression leaves. Hallelujah. Oppression can't stand the presence of God. Hallelujah. The devil goes south. Hallelujah. All the way south, past the Keys, into the ocean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship gets our eyes back on God. It acknowledges our need for Him. It shows that we can't do this without Him. You know, I mean, we've put a lot of emphasis in our country, especially on being independent, self-reliant. And it's good to be, you know, responsible. You need to be self-reliant to a certain extent. You can't have everybody else, you know, taking care of you and blame everybody else for your problems. But we need to leave the central place of our heart for God. It's okay to be reliant on God. Amen. That's and sometimes what we need is a good dose of humility to acknowledge, God, I need you. I'm desperate for you. My father-in-law, Angela's dad, was a mentor to me for many years. I worked with him for 15 years. And one of the things he would always say is praise is faith in action. When you praise God and you don't feel like praising God, it's an exercise of your faith. You know, we talked about Job last week when all of these things happened to poor Job. And you remember all the trials he went through. And the Bible says when all these disasters came upon him, the first thing he did was he fell down and he worshiped God. He worshiped God. Wow. Wow. So worship gets our eyes off ourselves. It clears our head. It shows us that God is big. My problems are small. I want you to see something also under number one here, that it's part of what Christ provides when we are saved. Watch this. This is in Isaiah 61. I'm just going to paraphrase some of it. But when Jesus began his ministry, he opened the scroll of Isaiah and he began to quote from Isaiah 61. And this is part of what he said his ministry was about. Watch this. This is what Jesus said was the reason he came to earth. I've come to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them, ordinary, average people, to bestow on them, that's you and me, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. Somebody say amen. Amen. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Jesus came to switch out the mourning and the grieving for gladness and praise. Hallelujah. And instead of ashes, beauty. And instead of mourning, joy and an anointing on our lives. So that is part of what happens when we become a Christian. If you're a real Christian, you're going to be a praiser. You're going to be a praiser because it says here that he gives us the spirit of praise, a garment of praise, instead of the spirit of despair. Hallelujah. Number two. So number one is praise takes your eyes, true worship takes your eyes off yourself and focuses them back on God. Number two is praise releases the presence of God. Praise releases the presence of God. And it's more than just singing. And that's why this is so significant. It's so important. You know, I'm trying to be very objective about this, and I want to be careful not to step on any toes. But how many of you will love me if I'm just completely honest? All right, thank you. Two people raised their hands. Okay. Oh, thank you, thank you. I got a few more. Let me be honest, okay? Sometimes we feel like, Pastor, what are you bothering me about being a more of a worshiper? You know, I clap my hands. I sang a couple of songs. But how many of you know that it's possible to clap your hands and not even be thinking about what you're doing? You could like... That's why sometimes you'll notice, I'll say, let's give God some verbal praise. Say something to God. Say something you like about him. That's what praise is. Say something to God that you love about him. Say something to God that you admire, that you respect, that blows your socks off. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I would have given up. I would have despaired. But I know there's a good Father up above. Hallelujah. There's a Father of goodness. David also said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Those praises were like a lifeline for that man. So praise releases the presence of God. We create an atmosphere for God to come near to us. I already explained to you about the throne. It says in Psalm 22, verse 3, you are holy, O God. You are enthroned or inhabit the praises of Israel. It's not an exercise in futility. It's not just a habit. It's something that when practiced with the right heart, with the right attitude, with love and adoration, can literally change your life. It can save your life. Praise can save your life. Psalm 16:11. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How many of you like to be in that kind of atmosphere? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. When you praise him, you open your life to the supernatural acts of God. Ooh. You open the door. You may feel like, listen, maybe this is for somebody this morning. You may feel like, I've tried all the doors. None of the doors are opening for me. God is saying this morning, try the door of praise. Try being a greater worshiper. Hallelujah. A true worshiper. Because the door of praise will open up the presence of God in your life. It releases God to do supernatural things. Look at Paul and Silas in prison. You've heard this story a dozen times, at least, or more. They were beaten. They were unjustly arrested. They were thrown into a prison. No, what do they call that? Due process, right? No justice. How many of you know there's a lot of injustice in the world? These guys had no justice. Just beat them up and throw them in jail. But Paul turned to Silas, or Silas turned to Paul, and they began to pray. They began to think of scriptures, and then all of a sudden, they started to sing. Hallelujah. In the midnight hour, somebody say, in the midnight hour, they began to lift up a song. Hallelujah. And as they began to lift up a song in the midnight hour, God noticed from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your brokenness, hallelujah, in your desperation, lift up a song to God. Hallelujah. Lift up a hand to God. Say, God, I don't know what's going on, but my hope is in you, Lord. Lord, I don't know what's happening, God. I know that this has been tough, Lord, but you're the only one, Lord. I have no one else who could save me, oh God. There's no God like my God. Hallelujah. Our spirits are refreshed as we worship and wait on him. Isaiah 40 says he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no strength, no might, he increases strength. Say it with me. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Put your eyes on God today. Somebody say, put your eyes on God. Hallelujah. Put your eyes on God today. Don't make God so small. Praise releases his presence in your life. And finally, number three, praise is a powerful weapon against the schemes of the enemy. I want to tell you a little story. Back in Staten Island, when we were working with the college ministry there, the campus, it's the College of Staten Island. It's part of the City University of New York. How many of you heard of CUNY? C-U-N-Y. Anybody knows what that is, right? CUNY. We were in Staten Island, and we started a Chi Alpha ministry there, college ministry. The only problem was the school wasn't having it. Even though we were perfectly entitled to start a ministry there, they were giving all kinds of excuses, all kinds of stonewalling, and reasons why we shouldn't be there. They wouldn't even give us a room to meet in. But watch this. All of a sudden, I said, to the group, and I guess I don't know how it actually happened, but one of the guys who played the guitar, a wonderful Asian student, we said, why don't we just meet in the cafeteria during lunch? But there's, you know, 200 or 300 kids in there, and two or 300 students in there. So I said, well, let's find a corner. We'll find a corner in the cafeteria, and I'll bring my guitar, and we'll have our meeting there. They can't stop us from doing that. So we did. We started meeting in the corner of the cafeteria because they would not give us a room to meet in. Somebody say amen. And we started singing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will say, how great is our God. That's a Chris Tomlin song, I think, right? All right. So we did that. We sang a bunch of other songs. And at first, you know, some of the teachers walking by and the, you know, the security, whatever, they say, I'm not sure if these guys are legal or not. I don't know what to do with them. They didn't know what to do with us. So we did this, Gloria, for several weeks, maybe several months. I can't remember now. But the interesting thing about that is all the other 200 or 300 students all of a sudden realized, hey, guess what? We're not the only Christians here. There's a few Christians over there. So every week more people started coming to our corner. All the people started realizing, man, I've been in the closet, you know, I've been a closet Christian, but now there's people right there that are praising God. Hallelujah. The devil tried to shut us down, but we praised God in the corner. Hallelujah. Brighten the corner where you are. Hallelujah. And you know what? The group grew to 15, then to 20, then to 25. And before long, I got a message from the administration. Hey, we found the room for you. We found the room for you. Get these crazy people out of the cafeteria. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He can work through those who praise him. For the chains that seem to bind you fall powerless behind you when you praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise carves a path of our deliverance. Because God wants communion with us. This is so important to God. Did you know that it was one of the reasons why Moses was sent to Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go from slavery? Because in Exodus, you don't have to read it right now, but in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses and God were having this conversation on Mount Sinai, God said to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh. You tell Pharaoh these words. And you could look it up. It's in Exodus 4, I think 23, somewhere in there. Tell Pharaoh these words. Israel is my son. Let my son go that he may worship me. Hallelujah! Let my son go that he may worship me. I have an appointment. I have a worship service to be at with these people. And there's no way, Pharaoh, you're going to stand in the way of them coming. He said, this will be a sign to you, Moses, that you will bring these people to this very mountain to worship me. Hallelujah. Oh, that's weak. You ought to give God some praise right now. I don't think some of you are getting this. Hallelujah. I feel like T.D. Jakes. Oh, you're not getting this. Gloria gets it. Hallelujah. Gloria gets it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody, let's stand up and give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Stand up and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my son go. Let my daughter go. Let my son go. Let my daughter go. That he may worship me. That she may worship me. You have to see. Listen, guys. Remain standing if you would. Listen. You have to understand that the oppression that the devil is trying to foster in your life is an offense to God. God wants to free you, not just for yourself, but because he has an appointment for you to worship him. Hallelujah. God is saying, let my son go, let my daughter go to worship me. Hallelujah. You don't use your freedom to just say, okay, God, thanks, I'll see you around. No, you've got an appointment to thank the God who freed you, to thank the God who brought liberty into your life and set you free from slavery. Hallelujah. How many of you know you've been released from bondage? How many of you know I was once blind, but now I see? I was once lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. You got a worship appointment with God. Hallelujah. 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 There's only one thing left to do, Brother Angel. Call the worship team back up here. Hallelujah. Worship team, come on back. We got to have a praise going out of this place. I want you to put your best praise from your heart, not just in your mouth, not just with your hands, but from your heart as we sing this closing song. Hallelujah. Thank you.